Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Pax Europiana, to my podcast about European reform. And in this third phase, we are discussing about Southeastern European reform mechanism, the various sub-organizations of the Regional Cooperation Council, or at least they have developed from them. And now we will discuss about anti-corruption. This is called the organization, it's Regional Anti-Corruption Initiative. It's based in Slovenia. The website is Richard Anton Italy SEE with a slash in between. And please check it out. It's really a very good organization. And it also developed from the Stability Pact, and the idea is to bring all the countries of Southeastern Europe together and to exchange information about how to fight corruption, how to have the best regulatory standards, how to train the officials who are fighting corruption in the anti-corruption agencies, and also to such important things as whistleblowing, how to organize it, asset recovery, judicial cooperation, and all these things which are very important in the field against corruption in this quite complicated struggle in transition countries, how to reduce corruption. So as you know already, when you listen to some of my podcasts, I'm absolutely calling for enlargement of that organization, because I think that Moldova and Romania and Ukraine and Georgia, but also other countries from the Eastern Partnership, best all of them, they should be invited to that institution, contribute, learn, participate, and benefit and profit from the experience of already in the 20 years of this organization, or it's 15 years now, but of this accumulated reform effort in the post-war Balkan. And this is, I think, very beneficial for the Eastern Partnership countries. And I'm absolutely in favor of enlarging this organization. It might be in the future also very beneficial for, let's say, Turkey, let's say, Lebanon and other countries. So this is really an important center in the fight against corruption. And it's, I think, a very important organization to enlarge and to preserve and to strengthen. And so what I call for is not only to enlarge it, but also to strengthen it and also to extend this organization. Because, how can I say, the fight against corruption is a key instrument to convince, to establish obviously better consensus in the reform countries, in the accession countries, more legitimacy in the political process. And also it's an important argument to win the debate about enlargement in general. Because if the population in the European Union has the impression and that these are very corrupt countries, then obviously this is a major problem and it doesn't help with the enlargement process at all. So how to fight corruption? Maybe let me add a bit what is really, there's basically a positive and enforcement mechanism. Of course, there should be moral appeals and clarity in the political leadership, but it's also important to have good economic governance in order to reduce the incentives to be corrupt. And a good system with transparency and with clarity in the economic system, and then there is much less opportunity for corruption. And you see, for example, some countries have been really very very excellent. Yeah? And the drivers in the digital government, the Baltic countries, they were also in the Soviet Union until 1991. And they are in the EU since 2004. And they are one of the most transparent and least corrupt countries in the world. Yeah? I always mention Estonia. It's the number 18 in the global ranking of Transparency International. That's really amazing. But there are other good examples as well. For example, Georgia. It's a very surprising reform superstar. It's on number 44 globally of in the list, with one being the best, obviously. They are at 44 of 200 countries in the world. It's surprising. We have also negative examples. In the European Union, for example, Hungary is at place number 70, and Romania also at 70. With Romania, I have big hope with the new reform government, with the pro-Europeans who are now in charge. But in Hungary, you see a country so similar, like, all the Central European countries, but significantly more corrupt and ranked internationally because of the problem of its leadership. The institutional framework obviously is perfect, but the leadership is very, very complicated. And Mr. Orban, you know, ranked like in Romania after this, all the things we have supported Hungary, and it's quite a similar country to Austria. It's really disgraceful, to be honest. And this has really to improve. How to improve it? Look, I call always, and this actually Hungary has done very well, for lower tax rates. Lower tax rates is an important element of anti-corruption, because then there is less informality, there's less tax evasion, and that's already a really important pillar in the fight against corruption. So the more complicated the tax system is, the higher the tax system is, and that's all really bad when you want to reduce corruption in a transition economy. So have a low, flat, simple tax system. Best always 10% taxation for income for corporate, and obviously a VAT system which is as European harmonized as possible, as difficult to manipulate and easy and best coordinated with the European Union and the neighbors. This is very important. Then incentivize formality. It's very important that you have a system where it's clear and easy and simple to comply with the rules. Because the moment they are complicated, technically difficult to fulfill, there is obviously the way to shortcut, save time, save red tape, and then you pay. And so that's a major problem. Then obviously it's also important to have, and the biggest area of corruption is always the currency and the financial system. Make sure you comply very much with the European banking regulation. Adopt the euro or peg to the euro. Make a fixed currency system. Don't go into the dangerous path of devaluation and of currency manipulation. That's all a disaster. Then I like to say digitalize everything. You know, that's a bit general, but in general it is like this. Use the possibilities of digitalization as the Estonians have done and really go into a massive reform of the public administration, public procurement. Everything digitalizes transparency, and that's really the way forward. Of course, the digitalization of payment, now in the corona crisis, this had already major progress, but there's always way forward and there's always a way to improve, because the more you have in the payment systems and the more you have digitalized the payments, the more there is accountability, and that's really important for reducing corruption. Then very important is the transparent asset registers. It's very important to have a cadastre system like the Macedonians have it, for example, with absolute transparency on the ownership for everybody to see, also who has a credit, who has a mortgage, who has the right for the ownership and usage. The property cadastre must be transparent and easily accessible. And that's a wonderful tool for the journalists already to see what kind of manipulations happen in the land, and then it's already much less manipulations. And everybody who buys land has security, everybody who buys an apartment has security. This is really the key to fight corruption. Then it's also the credit register. It's also very important that this is transparent and it's accurate and it's working. The whole system of debt collection must be well organized, because otherwise you have always this temptation to shortcut things and down payments and kickbacks and all these things. This is all totally wrong. Then it's very important to have a reasonable focus on small businesses, how they can really comply. It's easy to make it, it must be made easy for them to comply. Otherwise, and the tradition is always there in the Eastern European countries to look for a protection racket, kind of a roof or a kind of patron who is somehow securing you because you cannot comply, and so you pay your way out. And that's, of course, a massive problem with corruption. Then it's also the accounting system, the EU accounting directive. This is all really very well developed. It's just important to implement it and to coordinate and harmonize the accounting rules with the European Union. Then obviously to fight cartels and monopolies and collusion, This is really very important to also have the EU competition rules applied and to avoid all this kind of power monopolies, collusion system between politics and big business. And that's actually what the European Union is about. Yeah? If you cannot join immediately, at least make sure that you adopt these regulatory standards and also enforce it. This is a major issue. Digital procurement is also extremely successful, for example, in countries like Ukraine, but in all countries, this is now more or less the standard, and it has really increased the numbers of companies who participate and decreased the numbers of the corruption cases, and this is important. Also, obviously, the privatization of assets. It's very important to hand them out of the public hand and to privatize them transparently if possible and make sure that it's a decent process where everybody can be a bit competitive and then to have less direct control of the state of key energy or infrastructure assets or defense assets, because that's of course very problematic. It's also important to digitalize all the municipalities, yeah, because they do all the issues of construction permits, of business permits, licensing of small businesses, and so on, or agricultural subsidies often. And so there is so many things at the municipalities which are so important, especially also urban planning, and there is so much incentive for corruption, and it's important to digitalize the public services at the municipalities. It's also very important to make sure that the judiciary is really digitalized and working in a transparent way, where you have a case management system and where there is some speedy access to justice and to debt enforcement and to inheritance procedures. Because otherwise, you know, when you have long delays, it's always the incentives to speed up things with connections, buying, auctioning off judgments, for example. This is all a tragedy. And so very important also the trade system, especially when it comes to the customs. That's traditionally, obviously, in Eastern Europe, a main income for the governing classes to corrupt the customs process. And of course, when you have a very open trade system already, because you're fully integrated and best in a customs union, and then suddenly all these possibilities to steal from the people on the border checkpoints is evaporating. That's, of course, a tragedy for the few, but it's very beneficial for most of the people in Ukraine, in Albania, and everywhere. And of course, you know, join the regional initiative, the RAI, the regional Anti-Corruption Initiative. And that's really a wonderful tool to do. And I call again to Ukraine and all the Eastern Partnership countries to join. And my final point, I would say, it always depends on the top personality in a political system. If he or she is clean and clear, it can really work and fast. Yeah? As I have shown with the examples from Estonia and Georgia, progress is possible and it's happening. Even Montenegro, for example, always accused of being very corrupt. It's at place number 66. Yeah, it's not perfect, but it's good. It's not so bad. There are other countries, especially also in the Balkans, which are around hovering at the position 100. Yeah, you know, this is not good. Yeah? So we really have to get better here. It is important to convince the European public that accession is possible because progress is happening, and it's also important for their own legitimacy back home, for the democratic systems, because if everybody only talks about corruption every day and all the population thinks that the elite is corrupt, that's of course very, very long-term negative for the legitimacy of the political systems, and that I think we should also try to avoid. And we have now, thanks to digitalization, all the tools possible. We have also all the frameworks regulatory available. We have a lot of experience here. And in this center, in the Regional Anti-Corruption Initiative in Slovenia, there's all the good people who know what to do. And so I call to join, to strengthen and to fight and to be ambitious in this struggle against corruption and not to see it as the main topic in politics, but it's one of the negative issues which is around. And we have developed all these institutions, and it's time to really have significant progress. And let me close with that. If Georgia can do it, I think everybody can do it. And this should be the motivation for the coming decade. and I hope to see a lot of success in the Eastern Partnership and in the Balkans in this important sector in the coming decade. Thanks a lot.